tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 12th of August 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I thought today we could take a look at what some of these NGOs are doing with the illegal immigrants that are gathering in France, waiting to get on a boat to come over to Britain. We keep hearing politicians talking about stopping the gangs and stopping the people smugglers. Nothing is ever said about these charities which aid this. They are aiding and abetting the smugglers. I think Matteo Salvini, when he was in office in Italy, I think he's about the only person that's ever tried to go after these NGOs. But when they talk about people smugglers, these are the people that they should be going for. These are the ones that are facilitating this. They're handing out guides on what to do, what benefits to get, what phone numbers to call. Once you get a little way out into the channel, you call a phone number and then the lifeboat will come and pick you up. And they're not just giving them instructions on how to do this. They're giving them all sorts of other freebies as well. This article comes from GB News. The headline is, British charity hands staggering amount of freebies to would-be illegal migrants assembling on the French coast. Asylum seekers are given free SIM cards and Ramadan food packs, while 13.4 million Britons live in poverty. What really sort of shocks me about this is these free SIM cards that they get. They get free data, or you can eat data for 6 months, in free internet basically for 6 months on a card. And you think, well, what is the internet infrastructure like in the countries that they actually come from? Surely it's an incentive just to come over here just to get free internet, isn't it? I'm sure the British people would like to have free internet and not have to pay £30 or £40 a month for broadband fees. A British charity has revealed the scale of its handouts to would-be migrants assembling on the French coast, ready to illegally cross the Channel to the UK. Care for Calais, the charity which calls for Britain to accept refugees and open the borders, has given hundreds of thousands of freebies to migrants in northern France. I mean, it's almost an incentive for the migrants that are in France to go down to Calais, pick up one of these packs, and then stay in France. I mean, you could do that as well, couldn't you? The handouts, branded support for people on the move by activists, include more than 2,000 free SIM cards with 6 months of data preloaded through a deal between Vodafone and the charity. So Vodafone is supporting this group. So if you want to get your own back on Vodafone and you have a contract with them, then I suggest you change it for someone else, another provider. Care for Calais' annual report boasts of 162,000 items handed out in the UK and France to nearly 30,000 illegal migrants. And you have to think about the people that actually send money to this charity. The sort of people that look at what's going on and think, well, I really want to help these people that are over there in France, these poor people that are trying to get over into Britain. I'm sure a lot of them think that when they hear about rapes and murders, they think, oh, well, that's just exaggerated, or that's just the odd bad one. I don't think they can properly understand that even if it is just the odd bad one, if you didn't allow any of them in, then that odd bad one would never get in, and those women would never have been raped, and they would never have been murdered. And you also wonder whether the government itself is funding Care for Calais. One of the things that the government does is it gives grants to various charities, and NGOs. I mean, it gives grants to people like Hope Not Hate. So it wouldn't surprise me if the government itself is actually funding this and giving this charity money, which is then spent on giving free SIM cards to the people that want to break into Britain. It details how volunteers have hand-delivered 2,221 Vodafone SIM cards, 3,765 hoodies, 3,532 pairs of joggers, and 1,174 T-shirts to ensure the migrants are clothed and can call and text. The charity has also given out 2,770 snug packs featuring hats, neck warmers and gloves so they can keep warm, and 1,169 weatherproof garments, which will likely protect against the sea spray in the channel. The giveaways also include 1,173 Ramadan food packs, which form part of the 116,000 items dished out in Calais alone. And this won't just be happening in Calais, it will be happening all along the French coast, wherever the people amass from in order to break into Britain. It'll be going on in Belgium as well. And there isn't just this organisation, there's a multiple organisations that are involved in this. They also do it in Greece and Lampedusa. You have Israel Aid, which is funded by Israel, effectively funded by Israel to encourage refugees to come into Britain. They don't encourage the refugees to go to Israel, of course. And British charities should not be encouraging refugees to come to Britain either. And this is the ridiculous thing. Israel is quite sensible, really, when you think about it. They won't allow the refugees into their own country. They will encourage the refugees to go somewhere else. And we should be doing the same. We should not. We should make these organisations illegal. It should be illegal to try and help migrants break into Britain, which is what Care for Calais are doing. One beleaguered Frenchman told the Mail earlier this year that Muslim migrants were coming to Calais from all over France to get their hands on the Ramadan meals. And I wonder if that isn't a little bit exaggerated. I mean, how many meals are they actually getting? Surely it's not just one meal that's being handed to them that's been cooked that day by Care for Calais. I mean, if it is, you're not going to have people travelling all over France to get there. If it's all the ingredients required to make a meal, then I guess you might get some people going there, some Muslims going there locally. But I doubt whether they would be travelling all over France to get their hands on a meal pack. He says they are being enticed here. The numbers waiting to cross the channel to get to the UK are growing because of these meals. Well, I guess if they've got these meals coming every day, then that is an enticement, isn't it? If you're a homeless migrant and you're living in France and you hear, well, if I go down to the to Calais there, I can get a free meal every day and free clothing. And then I can just wait around there and until like an opening comes up on one of these boats, and then I can make my way across. So perhaps the free meals are a magnet. Care for Calais also recorded 25,000 unique instances of an individual accessing their services. So that's people that are trying to break into Britain, and they're giving them these services for free. And there are people in Britain that are funding this, that are giving money to this charity. It dishes out 3,000 free haircuts, 13,000 phone charging services, 7,000 English lessons, 467 sewing repairs, and 1,200 bike repairs, although it remains unclear whether a prospective migrant has ever brought a bike with them to Britain. Of course, they probably just stole the bike from somewhere in France. At British military bases housing illegal migrants, Care for Calais ran 80 drop-in sessions, 17 large-scale handouts, and gave out over 23,000 freebies. It also provided new arrival packs to welcome 1,800 migrants to the south coast. I wonder what's in these new arrival packs. Does it tell them where the local schools are so that they can lech over the schoolgirls, perhaps? These people are being assisted every inch of the way into our country, former Scotland Yard detective Peter Blexley told GB News. Onto our shores, where there is more division, more anger, more frustration. People go into the streets. I'm surprised that it was only Thetford this week. And of course, we've had all these problems in Thetford, where the government are putting over 1,000 male migrants which is a massive number when you think of the number that live there. And of course, this has spilled over into violence. Mark Collette has done a stream about that, that we will have that on Radio Albion later today. Former Armed Forces Minister Bill Rammell admitted an awful lot of the charity's activists are naive idealists who think they are doing good. And of course, that's the way that I see this. A lot of these people that are doing this are just trying to do good. They don't properly understand that when they try to do good for these individuals, they are actually doing harm to their own wider group. Maybe it's difficult for them to understand that. I mean, they look and they see that somebody is suffering immediately in front of them, so they go and help them. And I guess it's something like that, rather than thinking, yes, but that person might cause suffering to somebody else further on down the line because they have been helped into Britain by you. An awful lot of this is, as it says here, it's just naive idealists. It's people that are thinking that they're doing the right thing. I think there's very, very few people that actually do it maliciously. They think that they're doing good, and we can't help wanting to do good. We're a charitable people. We see people that are suffering. We want to help them. It's just that the best help that they could be given was to be told that you're not going to get anything if you break into Britain, and you're just going to be sent back to wherever it is that you came from, or you'll be put in prison. That would be the best thing to do, because then you wouldn't have so many of them that try to come into the country, and then you wouldn't have them drowning. I mean, there's an argument to be said that if you shot at them, if you shot one or two of them, and the Navy did that and treated them as an invading army, then again, that would stop any more from coming. So you would lose one or two lives, but you would probably save thousands, because they would be deterred from actually coming into the country if you used to do that. Of course, we won't do that, because we see them as individuals. We don't want to harm an individual. I mean, they won't even slash the boats because of the risk that that poses to these people. But in a way, a small bit of harm might prevent much greater harms from happening in the future. If you provide support in the camps in Calais, you are encouraging people to come to this country regardless of the legitimacy of their asylum claim. That is not good. It's not supported by the public, and it's not sustainable, he added. The handouts come as around 13.4 million people, the poorest fifth of the population in Britain, live in relative poverty in the UK after accounting for housing costs. As I say, just giving people free internet for 6 months would be a very big help for a lot of people in Britain. This includes 4 million children and 1.7 million pensioners defined as living in households with incomes below 60% of the median average. Mr. Blexley added that he was far more concerned about care for Crayford, care for Cumbria, or care for Cumberland than care for Calais as a result, because these organisations, as it said, they give them welcome packs once they actually come into Britain. So they're helping them in Britain. They're not just helping them in France. The charity's handouts figures emerged mere hours after GB News confirmed hundreds of illegal immigrants crossed the English Channel on Saturday after weather conditions improved overnight. This is one of the things that GB News seem to do. They sort of concentrate on illegal immigration. It's a bit of a deflection, really, because legal immigration is much worse when you're specifically looking at numbers. But of course, if you're looking at the possibility of them actually carrying out crimes, then it's the illegal immigrants that are more likely to carry out crimes than the legal migrants. But the fact is that the legal migrants come in far, far, far greater numbers. So which is worse, the ones that are likely to commit crimes or the ones that are going to drive up the cost of rents and prevent you from being able to see a doctor and prevent you from being able to get your children in the school that you want to get them in? And you can even say that mass immigration is responsible for all the sewage that we now see being pumped into the seas and the rivers, because our sewer pipes aren't big enough to hold the waste that comes from all these people that we've allowed into our country. The Shadow Home Secretary said just days ago the only reason the number of arrivals had decreased recently was the size of the waves between Britain and France. One migrant dinghy made it across the channel undetected yesterday morning until it was just a couple of miles from the Kent coast. And I should imagine that's when they called the lifeboat and said, "Can you come and pick us up, please?" I don't think many get past undetected, because what would be the point? If they can get across detected, they get all of this given to them and they get put up in a hotel, which is the point of it. They don't want to arrive in the country undetected. They want to be given all these freebies that they know they will get once they arrive. That took the total number of illegal arrivals so far this year to more than 14,500. Today's crossings also took the total number of arrivals under Andy Burnham to more than 2,300. GB News has approached Care for Calais and Vodafone for comment, and no replies there. Now, this is a charity, and what's going on with that particular charity in Calais. We also have other charities that are involved and other immigration centres. There's an immigration centre in Holland, and the Red Cross have just pulled out because it's too dangerous for them to actually have any helpers there. This is how dangerous these illegal migrant hubs have become. So dangerous, in actual fact, that an American transgender refugee is leaving the Dutch refugee camp to go back to America. Again, this is another article from GB News. It's headlined, "Transgender anti-Trump refugee returns to US after fearing death at Islamic asylum center in the EU." A transgender American who fled to Europe in protest of Donald Trump's LGBT plus policies is back in the US after being housed at an Islamic asylum center in the Netherlands. And what was Donald Trump's LGBT plus policies? Well, he prevented doctors from giving experimental drugs to children and putting them on a pathway to mutilation, these supposed transgender children. He said that you have to be over 18 to do that sort of thing. And secondly, he said that we're not going to have transgenders in the military, which is quite sensible, really. If you're in the military, do you really need somebody that has to have hormone injections there? That you're going to have to be careful of the pronouns that you use and all sorts of other problems. I think it's quite sensible to say that you don't have transgenders in the military. I mean, don't forget, when they after they have this horrible operation, they have to continually dilate the wound that's left there. So it's not going to be particularly hygienic, is it? So that was Donald Trump's LGBT plus policies that I can think of. It's no trannies in the military, and stop transing the kids. Well, apparently this was bad enough for this transgender to flee America. I don't know what he thought was going to happen to him or her, or whatever he prefers. Jane Michelle Ark, 48, switched life in California for the Netherlands' largest refugee camp after Mr. Trump was re-elected to the White House in 2024. Despite claiming asylum to stay in Ter Apel, Ark has now returned to the United States. That must have been quite a shock for them, I should imagine, going to this refugee centre and it's all filled with Islamic men. I would say he's far more likely to be in danger there than anywhere in the United States. Speaking to local media outlet POW News about the Islamic asylum centre, the one-time asylum seeker said, "The situation I have in the US as a trans person is not good, right? But here I will be hurt or killed. It is too dangerous to walk to the grocery store because of the people that live in the camp, and I'm one of them. I live here. You see these guys in yellow vests, they actually wear them because there are so many stabbings." So it seems like this person might have had a bit of a rude awakening, fleeing the LGBT intolerant America for the bastion of tolerance and liberalism that is Holland, only to end up at the refugee camp with all the Islamics in there. Ark, who is a software engineer, transitioned from male to female in 2012. She changed the gender on her ID to female in 2013. However, Ark's fears about the Ter Apel Asylum Centre appear to echo concerns expressed by charity groups and volunteers. The Red Cross deemed Ter Apel dangerous, with volunteers admitting that they felt unsafe at the site. I'm surprised anyone would go and work in those sorts of places. I mean, just remember Rhiannon White, this lovely young girl, mother, that was working in one of these asylum centres in Britain. And one of the asylum seekers took it upon himself to follow her to the train station one night and stabbed her over 20 times in the head, and he stabbed her to death with a screwdriver. So I'm not surprised people feel unsafe working in these places. And that's not the only one that I can think of. In Glasgow, one of the hotels that they were being put up in a few years back, those stabbings that took place there because the refugees weren't very happy about the food and the internet access. Perhaps that's why Care for Calais are giving them these 6 month all you can eat data cards for their mobile phones so that they have better internet access, because as we know, the lack of decent internet access has been used as a reason for stabbings. I say that happened up in Glasgow. So I'm surprised that anybody actually works in these places when you think of the risks that are involved. Staff temporarily suspended their work at the site after a series of stabbings and violent brawls. So it's only temporarily suspended. They will eventually go back there. The asylum centre houses around 2,000 migrants, including many from Eritrea, Somalia and Syria. I saw some figures today, and this actually, I think they actually came from a Conservative MP in Scotland, and he was saying something like around about 25% of all the Eritreans in Scotland are currently incarcerated in prison, and it's the same number for all the Somalis in Scotland. 25% of them are also incarcerated in prison, so that gives you an idea of the crime rate of some of these people that are being allowed into our countries and put up in these migrant centres. However, ARC already told The Guardian fleeing the US was the dumbest thing she has ever done. But as I say, it's probably positive, really, because it's probably given them a better appreciation of what it is that they actually have in America, as opposed to what it is that's actually coming into Europe. I mean, perhaps they might now have a bit of sympathy for the people on the right wing that are complaining about these people coming into Europe. Perhaps they might understand a little bit more about anti-immigrant sentiment amongst European people after being forced to live amongst them. In a Substack article written earlier this year, the 48-year-old added, "Leaving California showed me how I cannot leave California. I thought when I left that I was growing something new here in the Netherlands, but it is time to go." Long past, in fact. You think California is extremely left-wing. It's probably the most left-wing part of America. I guess Seattle might be competing with California. So for them to think that they would be better off with refugees in Holland, perhaps they've got a bit of a mental problem there. Can't tell the difference between what's going to be good for them and what isn't, because clearly it's going to be hazardous living amongst Islamic refugees. Before ARC returned to the United States, a friend was fundraising to pay the cost of a new passport. So they lost their passport as well. They must have thrown their passport away and then sort of just claimed to be a refugee, and then Holland put them up in the Islamic Refugee Center. However, the software engineer is already complaining about the cost of groceries in the US. It's like nothing is good enough for this person, is it? "First time shopping in the US and in and out too," she wrote on Threads. "America is really, really loud and overwhelming, and everything is so expensive. The Dutch complain about groceries being expensive, but good grief, San Francisco is a whole different experience." You would think that they would just be so pleased to actually be back in America. Because I should imagine at this Islamic place, they probably had to hide. They probably didn't wear makeup and probably wore male clothes and probably lived as a man. And if they're transgender and they want to live as a woman, you would think that they'd be saying, "Oh, this is so good. I can go out again finally without fear of being stabbed." Although I guess there is the fear of being stabbed in certain parts of America. In a subsequent post complaining about healthcare, ARC added, "I have my gripes with the Dutch healthcare system, and I know what I like about the American healthcare system." Well, the Dutch healthcare system, I think it's like the NHS. It's socialised healthcare, so everyone is entitled to it. Of course, in America, you have to pay for your healthcare, which means that a lot of really good people suffer because they can't afford to pay for the cancer treatment or whatever other medical treatment it is that they require. We have got problems with the British NHS. I mean, there are queues, there are waiting lists, but at least you do get seen by them eventually. And at least you don't have to pay for that. It comes out of everybody's tax and national insurance. It is provided by the state. And I think even if you have to wait a long time to get the treatment, at least you get it for free. And if you want to in Britain, you can pay for private healthcare and you can get it much quicker. But if you can't afford to do that, then you've got the NHS. And I think that is a far superior system to what America has. And we have discussed this, myself and Grandpa Dan, on a Daily Nationalist quite a few months back. We devoted a whole episode to the American healthcare system and contrasting it with the NHS. So I'm surprised that this person is talking about having gripes with the Dutch healthcare system. Again, it really sort of implies that nothing will actually be good enough for this person. They're going to complain about everything. And so the ways in which the US system are bad are very, very bad. The ways in which the Dutch system are bad are just bad, but not the way the US is. I feel like healthcare is something humanity decided to just make worse on purpose, because it seems like we know what we want and need from healthcare as a species. Well, I don't think that's very true. I don't think the people involved in healthcare are trying to make things worse on purpose. I think the fact that money is involved and capitalism is involved, I think that causes conflicts of interest. But generally, I think people that are involved in healthcare are mostly good people, and they're involved in it because they want to help people. I can't really see them doing it because they just want to make life worse for people. As I say, once you start talking about pharmaceutical companies and research and development and the bottom line and trying to make a profit, then just because of the nature of capitalism, it can make things difficult. But I don't think it's purposely done by people. ARC also waded in on the debate about whether trans athletes should compete in women's sports, writing, "Transphobia is quite overt." Well, they're really sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel there to fill out this article, aren't they? And this is a problem that we have with trans athletes. Well, I wouldn't say that it's because people have a phobia about them. I would say it's because they don't like to see an unfair advantage in sport. Why should a man be able to compete in a woman's sport? It gives an unfair advantage. Yes, it might make us laugh because it's the end result of all this feminism promotion and LGB rights promotion, and the end result of that is men competing in women's sports. And there is a certain amount of humour in that, but it is wrong. Essentially, it's giving an unfair advantage over these poor girls who might have spent their whole lives working hard in order to get to the top of a certain sport, only to have a young boy beat them. As I say, it's not really fair, but it's not really that important either. When you look at GB News, they have a program on there. It's called Free Speech Nation, and they talk about how they use their free speech. And pretty much all they ever have on there is feminists talking about women men in women's sports and men in women's changing rooms. And that's about the only subject that you can safely talk about on mainstream television, and yet they see that as being incredibly edgy, and they say we're not too scared to use our free speech. Well, is that what they think free speech is then? Just talking about trannies, not able to talk about anything else. And of course, the presenter just so happens to be Jewish, and most of the guests on there also happen to be Jewish, and it's like gatekeeping, really, trying to sort of gatekeep the subjects that they don't want people to talk about out of it. And then they just concentrate on these trans issues. Trans issues are important, and there is a trans agenda, but it's not that important. It's not as important as black and white crime, immigrant crime, feminism, all those sorts of things. And so much of the time when they are providing a conversation about trans issues, it's from a feminist viewpoint, or it's from a gay viewpoint, saying that, oh, well, these people should just be gay, and they're mutilating them and turning them into trannies instead. And that's about the level of mainstream free speech discourse today in Britain. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.